Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to Love Life, Love in Full Enlightenment. Welcome back, everyone. Sorry about last week's closure. I wasn't feeling too well and had a little doctor's appointment, but we want to say hello to everyone and welcome my co-hosts again tonight with A. Michelle Grogan and Janet Hurd. What's up, ladies?
Hey. How you doing?
Tonight we're talking about a lesbian by any name is a lesbian. Labels are identifiers and not definers. How a label does not put you into a box, but give you an opportunity to define your own selves in a manner upon which you want to be defined and understood. So that's what we're talking about tonight and giving everyone an opportunity to embrace the labels that are there, to understand why the labels came all about, and to really have a round table and an open discussion about these labels and really figure out what the real issue is in the lesbian community as opposed to just blaming the labels for it. We're going to open things up tonight with talking about some of the many labels that exist, and I'm sure there'll be some that I will miss because it depends on the area you're living in and the group that you hang out with as to what the labels might be that you will hear tonight. But we're going to just throw out the real standard labels out there. You have your stone butch, you have your butch, you have your soft butch, you have your stud. You have your boy, you have your femme, you have your high femme, you have your lipstick diva femme, you have your gentlewoman, you have your androgynous, or some people call them tweenies. And all of a sudden we started coming up with this thing and this concept called the no label, which is a label within itself. So those are some, and I'm sure we'll hear some more labels coming out tonight as we go on, but those are the major and most familiar labels that are out there. So I want to say welcome to everyone. How we do this is that we call out your area code and the last four numbers of your phone number. You don't have to say your name unless you want to. That's totally up to you. If you want to be anonymous and just give us your area code and the last four digits of your number, that's cool with us. So how's everybody out there? Oh, come on now. I see you on the line, so say I'm fine.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Let us hear you.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, just want to make sure you guys are out there and just not numbers to me. So did I miss any labels? Anybody have any you want to add?
Well, I didn't know there were so many labels out there, and I've been just calling myself a femme, so I done heard a label I like to take on.
I'm sure it's that high deep lipstick label.
And you know me. Yes, you know me so well. I was like, ooh, I like that. I would like to hear more about that so I can see it's right. Take that one on.
Well, those are those, you know, and we don't, and I do want to say that all of the labels that we, that have been thrown out thus far doesn't necessarily tell you whether or not that person is a dominant or a term that a lot of people like to use, whether they're aggressive or submissive. Their label, that outer label, that whole outer label does not tell you whether or not that person is aggressive or dominant or whether or not they're submissive. A lot of times people just assume because someone is a butch or someone is a stud that they're automatically aggressive, and it doesn't automatically work that way. So that's a whole different thing that we're going to talk about tonight also, that how some people allow what they visually see to explain what is totally the person's character and personality, and that's not so. So let's start with the high femme or slash listic lesbian. Those are the lesbians that are always in makeup, always dressed up, wear heels. They are dressed to the nines. They look like fashion models all the time. You may or may not see them come wake up in the morning. You got to get up real early to catch them outside of their makeup and all well put together. Those are the high femmes, the lipstick lesbians. You have the femme, which most of us know, that's a generic femme, and you may have some high femmes within that generic label. We know that the androgynous, tweeny, they could be feminine at some times. They could look feminine or dress feminine at some times. Sometimes they could look masculine to you, and sometimes they just sit squarely in the middle of that where they have a twist and a good balance and mixture of them both. You have the boys, which are the younger studs or the younger masculine energy driven, and they look like they kind of have that pretty boy, little boy, young boy, teen boy look about them, which is why they're called boys. You have the stud, and the stud kind of was a southern term that kind of is a spinoff of the butch or the stone butch. But younger people down south started the whole, during the big heavy move, heavy wave, second heavy wave of hip-hop, stud came up out of that because it was more of a hip-hop kind of terminology and everything, so that's where the stud evolved from. It's a southern term. You have the soft butch, and soft butches were really older lesbians back then that didn't want to quite look so feminine but didn't look so masculine. They're the ones that wear the power suits and the pearls, but you know that they're the dominant person in the relationship. There's the gentlewoman. The gentlewoman is that woman that may particularly wear suits and ties and have that certain masculine energy-driven air about her, but she lets you know straight off the bat, no matter what my attire looks like, I am a woman and I am not trying to be anything other than that. I'm a gentlewoman because I'm saying I'm refined, I'm well-rounded, I'm educated, and this is who I am and this is how I want to express my femininity. That's what a gentlewoman is. You have the butch, and we pretty much know that the butch is always pretty much acting on their masculine energy. They don't do a balance of their masculine and feminine energy. Those are the ones that will wear Tim's, the braids. They're just really hard, and they like that hard edge. To them, it's a protection and a statement that they're truly making, and they're all in it. They may or may not be touch-me-nots, but that stone butch is a butch, but they are touch-me-not. You cannot touch them. They do all of the pleasing, and they don't want you to please them. If there's going to be any pleasure for them, they will be pleasing themselves. So that's how the labels break down. Anybody has anything they want to add to that? Hello?
That was a pretty good breakdown.
So what we really want to talk about tonight is this new movement. Well, it's not new. It's been going on for a couple of years, and it kind of got really, really strong in the African-American lesbian community about trying to rid ourselves of labels. I'm going to tell you the upside of the labels, and I'll tell you what is perceived to be the downside of the labels, and I'll begin with the downside. The downside of what everyone believes the labels are is because they feel like they're being boxed in and they can't maneuver in the way that they want to maneuver. But I'm going to put it in plain, talking like we're four-year-olds to one another in language. The removal of labels will mean that you can operate in whichever pool you decide to operate. You would rather feel as though you have accessibility to everyone as opposed to being limited as to who you can approach or who is approachable for you, and feeling like you're being discriminated against. And so if you remove labels, people feel as though they will not be discriminated against. Well, we have to really be careful when we use the word discrimination when we're talking about relationships and talking about who people are sexually attracted to, because we're really talking about preferences as opposed to discrimination. We don't get to discrimination until we start saying things like, I don't know why you would date such and such, because if you wanted such and such, then therefore you should be able to go out and get the real thing. And all of that, that entire statement is predicated on the fact that you're feeling like they're either saying that you're not real and normal, or you're saying they're not real and normal. And so that's where all of that is coming from, whereas we should understand that we all have preferences, and what isn't your preference doesn't necessarily mean you have the right to knock it. It's just not your preference. If you are a lesbian that likes feminine energy lesbians, then don't knock those that don't. That's not your flavor, but that's their flavor, and you move on. That has nothing to do with your dating pool. If you don't date bisexual women, don't knock bisexual women. That's not your dating pool. But you don't have to knock them just because simply they're not your dating pool. And by the same token, bisexual women don't have to knock studs because studs don't prefer to date them. Or let me put, not all studs prefer to date them. That's just a preference. So we have to be careful when we're removing things that gave us an identity in the first place for personal reasons, because those labels were hard fought for. Those labels gave a community an identity within a society that are trying to render you invisible. So we have to be extremely careful when we start saying we need to remove all labels. That's on that side, the negative side of what they believe labels are. The positive side of what labels are is it allows you to define who you are, what your personality is, how you are going to relate to whomever is interested in you. This, they know that this is what they're going to be getting in a time and a period where people don't have time to discuss who they are, don't want to talk about who they are, can't really explain who they are because they don't fully always understand who they are for themselves. So if I say I'm XYZ and you understand the overall meaning of what XYZ is, you pretty much know most of what it is that you're going to be getting. Because just for me to say that I'm a lesbian isn't enough, because as I said, we all have preferences as to what type of lesbian we are interested and attracted to. So that's the same as, you know, when a person doesn't like to communicate, then they can just say, I'm a blah, 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 and you know where they're coming from and you know who you're dealing with. Anybody have anything they want to add to that, or any questions, any statements made?
I'd like to just start out by saying I'm a big advocate for labels. This is A. Michelle. I love labels because for me, it kind of gives me a baseline of who I'm dealing with. From my past experience, my first experience was with a female who identified as a hard sore. So my first experience was dealing with an experience with a female who predominantly identified as a man, who wanted to be a man, and that was something that I didn't particularly want and like. So for me, I think labels kind of give you an idea of a general basis of who someone is, but it doesn't make you, I don't think you should have to live in a box because of a label. You don't allow the label to define you, you define the label. So I love labels, because you get a general idea of who a person is. It doesn't tell you exactly who they are from inside and out because there's many facets to everyone. But I do like labels.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything anyone want to add, or anyone on the other side of that coin?
I think labels are important too. And this is Janet. I think labels are important because everything of what you said, and I agree totally with A. Michelle has said also, I don't want to be mistaken because I've had studs that would approach me. And I mean, that's what they refer to be. But I consider myself a gentlewoman or a masculine identified woman, both in the same pretty much. But I'm only attracted to feminine women. Women who are extremely dominant, over the top dominant, or extremely aggressive, we kind of clash a little bit, you know. And it's important to even know that. It's important that every woman who says that she's aggressive, for the most part, they are aggressive. There are women out here who are very feminine, but they have very strong personalities, you know. And because of their personality is so strong, and they're used to doing everything on their own or whatever, so they kind of have a dominant or aggressive approach to life in itself, not just to their mate or their children or whatever, but just to life itself, because that's how they always had to do it, you know. But it's something to be said about a woman that can be with her her partner, who may so happens to be more the masculine identified or centered woman, and can just, you know, her woman can make her feel like, baby, it's okay. You know, I don't want you to feel like you have to go out here and just, you know, make it like a dog-eat-dog world or whatever. It's okay for you to kind of let your guards down sometime. It's okay for you to, you know, whatever, because I got the part that you miss out. I got you, you know. I just think that, like you mentioned before about when it comes to people with those type of personalities or aggressive behaviors or too dominant strong people or too aggressive strong people, whatever, that somebody has, you know, you have to get to a place to where, you know, somebody has to yield sometime. Otherwise, you're going to constantly bump heads. You're constantly going to, you know, be standing toe-to-toe with each other, you know. And to say that, you know, too aggressive people or have aggressive or dominant personalities, not always a bad thing, but you do have to learn how to submit to each other. That's across the board. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care who you with, whether you feminine dom, whether you, you know, masculine, or whatever across the board. I think for me, the way I see it, I feel that couples in general have to learn how to submit to each other. It's not no one-man show. You know, and that's how you make things work. If she says, you know, well, baby, you've been really, really doing this a whole lot of whatever, I think you need to slow down. I think you need to rest. I think you need to whatever. We cannot look at that as being or her, you know, trying to tell me what to do or, you know, trying to control me or whatever. No, she's being loving. She's being she's caring. You know, at that point, she see you wearing yourself down. It's all about how we perceive our woman. Whatever we think, that's what we begin to feel. And if we start feeling that she's just trying to control me, trying to tell me I can't do this because she don't feel like I need to do this or whatever, when you start thinking thoughts like that, that's how your body is going to react to that thought. But if you take it And on a positive note, say, wow, my baby really loved me. You know, she don't want me breaking myself down and, you know, really, really getting stressed out over this or whatever. She want me to take it easy. So it's all about how you allow that to marinate in your mind. And that's
absolutely
most of the time. You know, that's our biggest problem because we're so busy trying to be, you know, power struggle in relationships, and it should never be that. Should not be a power struggle when you love somebody, when you're in a relationship with that person, because you realize, baby, I got your best interest at heart, and I know that you have my best interest at heart. So regardless of any of that, you know, and I'm just speaking on a spectrum of if a person is a masculine person or is with a feminine person, and they both have strong personalities, doesn't take it away from her femininity. It just means that she's that woman that just likes to, you know, she's used to taking charge. It's not to demean you. It's not to whatever. We have to understand it. Until we know that, we will always be at odds. But it's learning each other. So, you know, so I can be, I don't want a weak woman. I really don't. I want a woman who's strong, that know how to carry her own, you know, that knows how to handle things in a woman manner, in a woman-like manner, in a lady-like manner. Or, you know, some will go off on a whole nother rampage or whatever, but that's another story. My thing is knowing how to get your point across and still remain the confident woman that you are, you know? So,
right.
And I can appreciate that.
Well, let's talk about the difference in aggressive and dominance, because aggressive is actually a learned behavior. And as Janet was saying, is something that you pick up. You had to be tough depending on the neighborhood you grew up. There are some girls who grew up, they were the only girl in a house full of brothers. So they tough. They're aggressive because, you know, they had to get in there and they had to hold their own. Even though their brothers babied them, their brothers also toughened them. And, you know, your neighborhood makes it. I have a friend, I never forget, we were walking down the street, and she, whenever we were together, we were never in her environment. We were always like in Manhattan downtown or meeting to have lunch or something like that. But one weekend I hung out with her and her partner, and she and I walked to the store, and we were going down the street, and all of a sudden I saw her entire body language and mannerism change. And, you know, she's this little tiny woman is ditty bopping beside me. And I just turned and looked and said, "Whoop, what are you doing? Why are you walking like that?" She was like, "It's the environment. This is where we are. So we don't get, you know, picked on or somebody single us out. This is my walking. This is how I do it." So, you know, it made me really think about it, because I'm not a person that changes up, you know, where I am. I'm just me all the time. But, when I saw that, I started to really start paying attention to how people, especially when you're in New York, how people change up and code switch. You know, in order to be able to survive. So that's something that's learned. Dominance is something you're born with. There are just some people that are natural leaders, and that's what they do. And so you can have an extremely effeminate woman, and she be dominant, which I find sexy. But they have that edge to them that says, "I know what I want, and I'm going to go out and get it, and I can make this do what it does." And do
That's
it
right.
in a way that doesn't make their, if they're in a relationship with a more masculine identified lesbian, make them not feel insecure in any kind of way. And I cringe to use the word that I hear a lot, make them feel emasculated, because I just don't understand how a woman can be emasculated. So that's why I said I fear to use the word, but it's out there and it's being used. So that exists. So it your label as a femme or a lipstick lesbian or a stud or a bush does not automatically, and people have to understand that, it does not automatically mean that you're no touch. It doesn't automatically mean that you are a pillow queen. It doesn't automatically mean that you are submissive. And it doesn't automatically mean that you are dominant or aggressive. Those are things that more conversations and more interactions will let you know what that is about the person. If you just take their label and say, oh, this person is a stud, therefore they work on cars, they're going to mow the lawn, they're going to change the oil in the car, they're going to build a house, they're going to do that. If you take that just because that person is masculine energy centered and say that they're going to do all of the things that men do, then you're understanding that label incorrectly. Because all they're trying to tell you with that label is that they're masculine energy centered. And I
yes.
say that because we are born with both energies. We all
mm-hmm.
have.
All are,
and that's
exactly.
heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, trisexual, intersexual. We all are binary in our energy. We all have a yin and a yang about
that's
ourselves.
Right.
So it just, you know, it's not good to operate all on one side because that means you're out of balance. So at times
right.
there's going to be a mixture of that, those energies going on, and people will glide in and out of them. But for the most part, people tend to be in one a little more than the other. So when you hear someone say they are of masculine energy centered, they're telling you they operate more on their masculine energy than they do on their feminine energy. That does not and should not be taken as, I believe myself to be a man.
Right.
And
exactly.
the only time you should take a lesbian saying she believes herself to be a man is if she says, I am male identified, which is totally
mm-hmm.
different from operating
mm-hmm.
on my masculine energy. If I tell you I'm male identified, I'm almost telling you
I'm
really telling you I'm transgender.
Right.
If I say I'm male identified, I identify as a male. I'm male identified. I'm telling you I'm transgender. We just, African American lesbians just haven't gotten to that point where they can embrace that transgender thing. Too tough. They're
mm-hmm.
afraid of being able to say that, so it's easier for them to say they're male identified. But that's what that means. Because now
mm-hmm.
they're not just
mm-hmm.
talking about energy. They're saying they identify as a male. So we have to understand what these labels and terminologies mean and not just toss them about because we want people to understand who we're saying we are, and we want people to understand who we are.
Right.
So that's how that goes. And we do have to make sure we understand that it's an identifier, not a definer. It's just an identifier. Because you can move in and out of them at will. If you change, if there is something about you that has changed, you've discovered that authentically you are this other individual, and you have been hiding because that has not been what, you know, how you came into the light. You know, some people got into certain roles by accident. You know, their girl created them into the role that they're in because that's what their girl wanted, and so that's what they made them. Just because they were a little tomboy, they said, you got to be a boy or you got to be the stud because you're a tomboy. Well, actually, they are very feminine. They're just tomboyish. You know, they're just a tomboy. And the tomboy doesn't necessarily make them a stud or a boy or a butch or, you know, any of those other masculine labels. It just means they like to play sports. That's all. They like to get out there and run and tussle like everybody else. They're just a little rougher than everyone else. But when they clean up or when you get them in the bedroom, they're all womanish.
Okay,
they're all feminine ones.
I had my package as far as
mm-hmm. Any comments? Any statements?
Yeah, Billy, I've got a secret. I have a secret about no labels. I don't think that we need labels. The only thing that you need to know about me is that, you know, if I'm attracted to someone and they're attracted to me, why have a label? Because it's all part of the journey to get to know each other. Get to know each other, what they like, what you dislike, and. I mean, when you see me or I see someone, I'm either going to know that they're soft or they're, you know, hard or, you know, or something. But I'm only going to be attracted to someone of my liking, and they're only going to be attracted to someone of their liking. So if I have to put a label on everything, that could really put me in a box where I miss out on something. So I'd rather not have labels and just get to know the person themselves, because I'm going to find out who they are once I get to meet them, see them.
Well, okay. I understand that. And there are some people who want to go into the relationship knowing what type of lesbian they're going into the relationship with before they're 3 months down the road, and they get to see them, and that person relaxes enough to reveal who they are, and you actually see that person in their comfort zone so that you can know who they are. People, you may be a talker. You may be a communicator. We have a lot of silence going on in the community where it's better to keep quiet and let people continue to guess about you until you can really get them in a position that you want to get them in. And by position, I mean get them into the relationship and get them truly engaged and involved with you before you start to expose who you really are. And so, therefore, a lot of people start to get resentful in the relationship because, you know, hey, you presented yourself as this, and now I'm discovering you're something else. You've just wasted my time, and in essence, I've wasted your time. And, you know, and then the drawback, the pushback on that is, hey, I don't understand. Before I showed you who I was or before I told you who I was, you were all cool and we were doing fine and we were in love. But see, that person you had me falling in love with isn't real.
I'm listening.
Is what they're saying. I know a person who was in a relationship for 6 months because they have a 6 month rule as to when they will sleep with a person. So they were in a relationship for 6 months. Come 6 months, when they decided everything is fine, they have gone and had all of their testing and everything. 6 months come, they get into the bedroom, they've been in a relationship with someone who's transgender. That wasn't what they were, that's not what they took on. They had no idea, and the person never told them. And when they told them, you lied to me, I didn't lie to you, I just didn't feel as though there was a need for me to tell you that until we were sure. But we just put 6 months into one another's lives, and I'm discovering now that you're transgendered and I didn't. This is not the path I wanted to be on. And so what we're trying to get people to do is either open up with communication or be able to express yourself with your label, as opposed to sitting in silence and saying, I'm going to wait until I discover who you are. If we're not communicating anymore, we're not talking, people don't even talk on phones that much anymore. We're communicating via text, which can be confusing. Emails, brief conversations. You go on a date. Anybody can be anybody you want them to be for a date, because dates only last maybe roughly an hour or two, unless you're really feeling one another and you spend a whole lot of time. But the average date is about an hour to 2 hours long. And people can be whomever you want them to be within that time frame. And people can go on doing that for a very long time.
So baby, what I hear you saying is that the LGBT community wants to use labels like I am a soft butch, I'm a lipstick lesbian, or I'm a masculine, or something like that. So that puts it out there right now that this is who I am. So, or I'm transgender or whatever. So the other person right away knows what they're dealing with. That's what I hear.
When labels began, labels weren't for the lesbian community or the gay community. When labels began, labels were really for the heterosexual community, because prior to us being able to identify ourselves as gay and lesbian and all of those different things, we were invisible. You were deviant. You were just a deviant. Pardon me? So when we started off with giving ourselves a label of
I don't know if someone's talking to someone in the background or if they're talking to me.
I'm sorry. Somebody else is talking over here. I hear more voices. I'm sorry.
So that means they're talking in the background to someone else.
Yes.
Okay. So when we first started off with just the umbrella labels of lesbian, gay, transgender, and all of those things, that was for society that had rendered us invisible and was ghosting us and considering us as being deviants. So that's where all of the different labels. And then once we got to that point, there was always a way where people identified who they were in the lesbian community. And if we go back and we look at the history of how we got together and where we would meet and the clubs that we would go to after hours, and the clubs would turn over to the lesbian and gay community and all of the different things that went on. Actually, that's where the clothing and the cross-dressing really came into play, so that people knew when they were in the clubs who and what they were getting. And when bisexual people were coming into clubs, going uptown to the Cotton Club in Harlem, wanting to know exactly who they were going to be dealing with and who they were getting with. That's why people like Ma Rainey and Betsy Smith and all of those people, you see them where they performed in dresses, but when they walked out of the performance and they were going to the club, they left out in suits, because they were saying to the ladies who came to see them, this is the woman, this is the lesbian that you will be getting. This is who I am. This is what I am. I am dominant. I am more masculine energy centered, and so this is who I am. And that's where the cross dressing came from in the lesbian and the gay community. So you know who tops and bottoms are and all of that stuff before you engage them, so you know who to approach. I hear you saying, when you say we should throw labels away, kind of like how I opened up the whole segment by saying you want the pool to be open. You want there to be an open pool and everyone to be accessible, and we should just work our way through the entire pool until we come across what we're matching with. And I'm saying, why do you have to spend that kind of time with people who you may not be attracted to and who may not be attracted to you, when you can just go to your pool?
Can I just say something about that?
Yes.
Hi, this is 336 somewhere in North Carolina. my question, something that you said about going ahead and speaking. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Continue. Go ahead. Because I'm trying to say something, I lost my train of thought. I have another question, though.
Okay.
The term identifiers and definers, does that change in terms of people of color or
yes.
different that's where my question is coming in at.
Yes, they do. Do different races have different labels? Yes.
Yeah, and also cultures.
When you go into, enter into the white lesbian arena, they have far less labels that exist than we do in the African American and the Latino lesbian community. Far less. White lesbians, butch on butch, has been going on forever. It seems to be so taboo in the African-American and Latino American lesbian community. And all of that has to do with freedom of sexuality. If you are a reader of Cosmopolitan tells white women they have the freedom to be sexual beings. And then you come over to the African-American magazines and rags that we have grown up on, and you look at Essence, and you look at all of those magazines, they try to keep you from being a what is considered a sexual deviant.
It is something that we have been battling since we entered into this country, where we are either considered mammies or we considered Jezebels. And everything within our community is trying to keep us from being labeled as a deviant. So our sexuality is something that is always under wraps. Our sexuality is something always that we have struggled to embrace and to be free within. So in that struggle, then you start defining what has already been defined and start thinking identifiers are your definers, and then everything gets all flipped up and twisted and turned upside down. But yes,
okay,
there are labels that African-American lesbians have that don't exist. In the Asian lesbian community, in the European lesbian community, but they do kind of cross over into the Latino community.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. I think, and it's an opinion, strictly, this is Tyann, I think that the reason so many labels are existing now inside the African community, African-American community with lesbians, is because of what you said, because of the fact that our sexuality was supposed to be suppressed. Our sexuality was over-exaggerated to one side of the spectrum, and so then it was supposed to be suppressed. And it's kind of the same thing, it's similar in the way in which the black male took the word nigger and turned it nigger into something that was supposed to be taking the power from nigger. So instead of being a bulldagger, because that was the big deal when I was a teenager.
Absolutely.
We don't want any labels. We want to be able to do who we want to do when we want to do it. That fluidity. We're saying it's fluid, but it's not fluid. It's more or less like we're trying to take the power. But what's happening, because, like you said, there's a lot of time that's being wasted. There are relationships that fizzle apart. One, because just as a segment of society as a whole, the black woman is under so many different types of attacks, and she's attacking herself almost constantly now, that having relationships, it's very hard. It's really hard. And I say this, and it does not make me a very popular lesbian, but I say that we have evolved so much until we don't need each other. We like to present ourselves as so evolved, but we're not. We're really not that evolved. We are human beings looking for a connection with another human being. We want, and for me, I am a butch. You know, back then I was dyke, butch, thought. You can say whatever it is, but I'm all the way masculine on how I think, act, live life. I have my feminine qualities, and they're I'm tender, but I live my life in the masculine sense for the most part. And I want a feminine woman, but even in the feminine woman, or femme, there's so much anger, and everyone wants to prove their power now. Everyone wants to claim their power, and it's like you end up in these constant power struggles. So again, I long story short, I just see this non-labeling as a way for those of us who felt disempowered to feel empowered again. So by saying there's no labels, or we want no labels, and we seem to think that this will make us more powerful, but I don't think that. I think it's going to do the opposite. But it's just what it is. It's just now it seems to be the thing, and it's almost like it's trying to make it chic, and or you know, in vogue to be
right.
A lesbian. But again, like I said, that's just my opinion. I love feminine women, and I love the strength of my own women. But sometimes it becomes a problem because the dominance. It's like someone, you know, the need for dominance is what's there on the black woman as a whole. And she needs to dominate. She wants to feel dominant. And whether it's in a heterosexual relationship or in a lesbian relationship, a lot of times the feminine woman wants to dominate to the point to where she will basically blow up her own relationship because she needs to feel dominant in some way because society tells her she's not supposed to. So that's all I got to say.
Can I respond to that, please?
Yes.
Okay, this is Southland, and my response to that is I don't view it as wanting to feel dominant. I think sometimes people in general, when they feel like they need to demonstrate some sort of dominance, it's because there's been a level of disrespect. It may not be intentional, and it may be perceived disrespect, but I think that's when people in general will demonstrate dominance or try to demonstrate dominance.
Well, here's what I'm going to say on that, and I thank you both for what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, Jocelyn, what Jocelyn said, and I understand what the caller said prior to what Jocelyn said, where she was responding. And my response to that is this: the whole beauty about lesbianism was really not only just about the fact that it was women being sexually and emotionally attracted to one another, but it was an opportunity for women to come into their full equality in a relationship. So whether there is one person that has a more dominant personality or not, at the end of the day, the goal is still to allow both women to feel, at least within their relationship and within their home, that they are equal and that they do not have to submit to anyone. Relationships aren't about having to submit, but trying to find a balance of equality so that everyone is getting what it is that they desire to have in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It may not be 100%, but you're still getting some of what it is. So we shouldn't at any point think that no matter what our label is, that it gives us a right to render our woman in our relationship into the same place and position as she's rendered out into society. Because now she's going to feel like she's sleeping with the enemy and there is no safe haven for her. So, yes, now she's fighting back at you because, in a way, without you really knowing and understanding it, you're fighting her. And you can't expect her not to fight back if you're fighting her or if she's perceiving that you're fighting her. Just because you are a masculine center doesn't mean that you dominate and control your woman. Your woman is your woman and not your not something for you to control. She still is who she is, and she has her own self in her own way. So, again, that's another situation where there has to be a yin and a yang, and there has to be a balance. And sometimes the yang is in control, and sometimes the yin is in control, and vice versa. So, and I know that's not going to make me a fan at the moment as to what I'm saying, but that's true, and that's real. Because other than that...
I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. So let me say this. It's not about me dominating. This is not about me. I'm just saying an observation. And what I'm speaking to is the fact that it's, like you said, it's a matter of perception. And right now, in my opinion, a lot of women are perceiving strength as dominant. They are seeing it as dominant. Because, as you said, on the outside, they have to fight for, or they have to be, they have to fight for their place or their stature. That inside of the relationship, they're seeing any type of strength as someone trying to be dominant, and it's not necessarily the case. It's just a matter of perception that's going on, and because of that, we. Now, no one wants to be labeled because everyone wants to claim their strength. Everyone wants to take their strength and have their own power. Now, yes, you have to be equal in a relationship, but I do not believe that there is any such thing as 50-50. nasty, regardless of if it is the stud that's dominant or if it's the femme. There's no such thing as 50-50. There is the best you can get at the time that you can get it. It could be 60-40, 70-30, because, again, we never give equally. Everything is based on who we are, what we see, how we feel at a particular time. So I just don't get caught up in the 50-50. When I say equal, I just mean fair. I just mean, you know, we're both going to treat each other fairly and respect each other equally as individuals. But that does not change the fact to me that there is, because of the fact that the black woman on the outside, period, has to fight so much, that strength is now looked at as some type of dominance. It is perceived that you want to dominate, and that's not the case. It's just that it's just strength. When you have two strong personalities, sometimes it leads to that. But again, like I said, I'm just speaking my opinion. But this is not as far as me trying to dominate. I don't believe in dominating. I believe in being with whoever, being with the woman that I'm with. And that's being, and we're being together. But I just noticed that right now, to me, it seems that any strength is seen as dominance because of the fear of everything that's outside. So you have to be extremely patient, understanding, and calming in your own self to sometimes be involved. That's it.
Well, I want to clear something up. I wasn't saying you in anything. I was just speaking on the subject matter and the way you know you presented it and the word selections that you were using, and then comparing it to what Jocelyn had said, because when I said I believe that lesbianism was about women being able to have equal rights in the relationship, that's my opinion and that's my belief. And I don't believe that anyone else has to believe it. That's just the nature and the history behind what lesbianism was all about and how I perceive it. And I'm a feminist. So I believe strongly in the woman, and I promote and I salute and I protect the woman, because I think that a lot of times women get a bad rep, and especially the black woman, she gets a bad rep. I mean, it's almost like no matter what, and it was always our feminine women that were getting the bad rep. I don't mean the ones that get abused physically the most or get out in society. I just mean the representation that that black women are now and have for hundreds of years been fighting. When we gave our bodies over in order to protect our men and our children in slavery, that was seen as an issue. When we have to pick up the mantle and rear our children all alone, then we get the bad rep of however our children fare out, as if their fathers have no responsibility to them at all. So we our black women are fighting a lot of things out there. So sometimes they bring the fight. I agree with you. Sometimes the fight comes inside. But here's what I have to say about that, because it's not the label. It is not the label that will cause our woman to bring the fight into the home. It is not the label that denotes and gives her power to say that it is okay for her to be aggressive, because very few people think of the label of femme as being aggressive, unless she says I'm aggressive femme or femme aggressor. She just says she's a femme. Aggressive is the last thing that falls into anybody's mind when something like that is said. So it's not the label that gives her and makes her feel that she has the power to come in and be aggressive. It's the nature of who she is that gives her that power to feel like she can come into that relationship and show aggression, because that is who she is. She is not only a femme or not only a stud or whatever her label is, but she is also an aggressive person. Like I said, aggressiveness is a learned behavior. Dominant is presented in a totally different way, because dominance is about leadership. It's about taking a lead in something. It's not aggression means I'm enforcing it upon you. Dominance means I know how to talk
you into doing what it is that I want you to do, in a way of doing it without you even realizing all the time that I'm convincing you to do exactly what it is that I want you to do. That's what dominance is about. That's what leadership is. So they kind of differ, and we do have a lot of aggression in the community, but that's a learned behavior. But it doesn't come along with all of the titles, which is, you know, with all of the labels, which is one of the things we're talking about. But my reason for having this discussion tonight really is to let us all know that it's not our labels that are the problems. And if we remove labels from our community, then we then remove who we are, and we remove the definers of the identifiers of who we are, and we render ourselves invisible. And we have fought too hard and too long to come along because we are getting in our feelings about how something is happening or what we can and cannot have access to take ourselves back. And I feel the same way about when we throw away Black Lives Matter and start to embrace All Lives Matter. Because if All Lives Matter, then we would have never had to say Black Lives Matter. But if we allow that All Lives Matter to take president, then we render the issues of Black Lives Matter invisible. So if we remove all of our labels, then we render the issues also that exist invisible. And now you're fighting demons you can't see. And we don't need to fight demons we can't see because we are already fighting enough demons. So we don't need to try to figure out ways to further divide ourselves, but we need to keep our community together and bring ourselves together and stop thinking that if I call myself something, that is where the problem is coming from. It's because we don't want to identify ourselves, we don't want transparency, and we don't want honesty, because, see, that label means I just said who I am. Now you're holding me to something I said I am. If I don't say anything to you at all, then you have nothing to hold me to. I have no transparency. It almost makes it feel as though I want to hide who I am and give you bits and pieces as I see. You're going to be on a need-to-know basis.
So I think that's the part.
Any comments? Any comments?
Somebody's saying something, but they sound really faded.
They sound so far away.
Can you hear me?
A little. Go ahead. We're going to listen very intently.
Well, wait. I'm going to turn this off, and I'm going to go to something else. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, I think that could be part of a grander agenda on society as a whole to cause us to melt so that, like you said, we don't know what demons we are fighting, so this way no one can say that they're being discriminated against, but power is still taken away. Now, as far as what you said about Black women, I agree with you completely, because my mother was a very strong, dominant, not aggressive, and I understand what you mean. I definitely agree with that, because it's aggressive women, not dominant, because dominance is leadership. My mother was a very dominant woman, and she fought up until she had until she passed away. So yes, the Black woman has to fight outside the home, but all I'm saying is sometimes it's the fear of losing the fight outside the home that will cause her to bring it inside, and it would just be, I it would just be nice if we, and I'm going to put myself in this because I'm a woman, if we collectively are able to look at those that are there, that are in our lives, that love us, and know the difference between their wanting to control or dominate or take charge, as opposed to them being the rock that she may need at the time she'll need it. That's it.
Absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely. But and we also need to start using one of my things about our when we take on, some of us take on the more of the male-identified connotations in the name of being masculine-centered, where we have this thing about calling our women outside of their names.
Never.
And,
no.
And that's also something that we need to work on. This is someone you're supposed to love. This is someone you're supposed to care about. This is someone that you want to nurture you, and you should be nurturing her. And I'm quite sure that you can find something other than bitch to call her. I mean, there are so many other loving terms that you could come across before you got to that term to, you know, to call your woman when you're talking about her. And, you know, while we're talking about feminine women and their aggressiveness and their aggression and wanting to show their strength in the house, we can't leave out the fact that things like that are going on in that house also within that relationship. So, you know, which, again, goes to what Jocelyn was saying about, you know, sometimes they got to stand up and stand toe-to-toe and look you in your eye about disrespecting them. So, you know, there are a lot of things that we need to work on. Like, that's why I said you don't let the label dictate to you who you are. You're dictating the label. Because, see, when those labels came up, being a man was never a part of it. You know, there was a time, even though we dressed like men, we didn't want to be men. So, you know, and if we're going to take on the qualities, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're going to take on the qualities of men and the manhood, then why the negative ones? Let's take on the positive stuff, you know. You gotta know some positive men of some good things out there that, the, you know, other than, you know, calling your woman out of her name and thinking it's okay to beat your women. And I'm talking to both my feminine sisters and my masculine sisters. And by the term sister, I mean all of us. I'm not just talking black and Latino and people of color. I'm talking to my white sisters who are on the line also. Mm-hmm. We gotta learn how to keep our hands to ourselves. You know, because your woman is not for you to be beating on. Because, see, that's aggression on your woman. And that shouldn't be. If we get to the point where we're so upset with one another, somebody needs to take a walk and go take a ride or a drive somewhere. We should not be bringing physical abuse into the community, into relationships. We've got to stop all of that. See, the label doesn't, that's not the label. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Us attacking one another and saying who should be dating whom and who shouldn't be dating whom, that's not the label. Because, see, your label doesn't dictate who you get to date. Your label is just simply saying, this is who I identify as. It doesn't say I can't identify as this and date someone who identifies as the same as me. The label doesn't give that. That's not a part of the label. That's us. And see, we keep trying to put things on the label. That's us. Because even when we become non-labels, guess what? The same stuff is going to exist. Because you're still going to have a preference. You're still going to be knocking what you don't like. You're still going to be biased. You're still going to have all of those things. I'm trying to say it's not the labels that are doing that. The labels are simply identifiers. We're the definers. We are. And we need to take the power of that and bring the healthiness back into our community. We need to be healthy again. We need to be strong again. We need to understand that we can trust again. We need to understand that we can love again. And labels didn't do any of that.
I think you're talking about something that mankind has to deal with as a whole, and that's compassion.
Absolutely. But see, we got to get away from bringing the normative into what has been established as not being normal.
And that's not to offend any of us. I'm just talking about society and how society has us on the fringes of society and saying that you are not within the normative. So if we are not within the normative, why are we trying to emulate what is the normative? So, and that has nothing to do with whether you're on your masculine energy or not. Well, what I'm talking about is bringing the negative stuff into something that was supposed to be totally different. Because that's what they say. They say we're different. So why don't we do just that, be different? And I should be able to say I identify as this just like I identify as a woman. We don't have a problem with that. We don't say we don't need any labels for that. We don't say we don't need any labels to defer between what's a man and what's a woman. But then we get into the lesbian community, we start want to throw labels out. And one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons why we want to throw labels out is because a label is a preventer. A label holds you to you saying that's how you identify. And you act as if you can't change your label whenever you get good and ready. If that's no longer who you are and that's no longer the life you live in, then change your label to whatever it is you are now identifying as. There's no rules against any of that, none whatsoever. But once we start throwing things out, a community does not and cannot exist without a word or a term to call itself. And for us to say we are just women, loving women, we're not being realistic about our preferences. And we're not being realistic about how tired lesbians are out there of going in and out of relationships and in their own terms of wasting their time in relationships. So I have someone here who just hit me. They're trying to add something, but they can't be heard. Can you, I'm going to open up. Can you speak a little louder? Hello? Okay, why don't you type me what it is that you want to say, and I'll read it over in the line, or you go ahead and try to say it. Okay. Does anyone hear anything?
No, I don't hear anything.
All right.
I hear you.
I hear.
Does anyone have any? Can you make it out what they're saying?
Okay. I don't know where this is coming from.
Okay, well, we're going to go on. Hopefully she's writing to me, and I'll throw it out as soon as she puts it out there to me, because I can't really hear her. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say?
I'm hearing a lot of feedback. I don't know what that is, somebody's music or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of loud.
Me too. If someone has, they're either close to a computer, they have some music going on in the background. There's a lot of stuff going on. If you can mute some of the activity in the background in your homes, I'd appreciate it. Are there any more comments or any other statements?
Well, I guess I want to basically, I'm just going to say, let me ask for me, And I know a lot of people, you know, are still going to say, well, even after all of that, I still, you know, I'm no label or whatever, whatever. And that's fine. That's okay, because everybody's entitled to possessing whatever so-called title or label, because that's a label also, to say that I'm no label. You know, whatever you want to do. But my thing is, the thing about that is we have to know and understand, regardless of whoever we talk to, whether they have a label, whether they don't have a label, you know, we still need to know that person, how they function, how they operate, whether it's outside of a relationship, I mean, not outside of a relationship, but outside on a regular, you know, from day-to-day movement thing. And if you're somebody that you're dating, you need to know how that person operates even on the inside of a relationship, behind the scenes. I mean, but that's a whole other topic. Because you have femmes who are very aggressive in the bedroom. You have studs who are very aggressive in the bedroom. But you have to always understand and keep in mind, I don't care how aggressive two people are, at some point, somebody's going to have to yield. Nobody can just, otherwise you're going to bump heads. You're going to clash, you know. And if we're not in touch with our feminine side, because as, you know, Krim had said before, we were born with both energies, both masculine and feminine. So to just be on one edge all of the time, you're not in balance with yourself. You're at that point, Hello? You stepped out of bounds because you're trying to prove something to somebody. Just be who you are. Relax in that moment. You know what I'm saying? If your woman is saying, well, baby, you know, this is how I feel with you or whatever, you know, it's okay for you to just back down and lay back and relax and just not feel like you have to, you know, wear the crown of glory on everything. You know what I mean? Because I was saying before, you know, when it comes to certain things, and I am a gentlewoman, that I am, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, I've never been considered feminine. I've, you know, at some point I had a feminine look to myself when I was younger, you know, being growing up in the church and stuff like that. I had to look a certain way and being involved in ministry and all that. But there was nothing feminine about me, really, because to me, outside of the look, because my persona, my personality, my demeanor, my characteristics, the way I presented myself, there was absolutely nothing feminine about it. It's like I was almost like a boy in a dress or something, you know? Not to say that I was, but I'm just saying I've never been on a feminine. It was just too much work for me. It was just too much, you know, I couldn't just go through that on a daily basis. It was just like walking around in a masquerade all the time. So that never came natural for me. But once I got comfortable in who I was and became to be, walking my own truth, that's when I became, you know, feeling myself with who I was and adapting to it and being proud of who I was. So I could not go around saying I'm a no label, because no label means that I could be, you know, whatever. And that's not true. That's not who I am. That's not what I identify as. I'm not a femme. I'm not a aggressive femme. I'm not none of that. You know, I am who I am. And I think that sometimes we need to have that conversation. And some people, you know, I was sharing early on that, you know, I have a friend of mine that, you know, that I've always known as a quote-unquote stud or masculine identified or centered woman, not, you know, not identified, but a centered woman. But, you know, because she felt like she was really a stud who was attracted to other masculine women, she wanted to start carrying on the label, I'm no label, because she felt like that kind of opened up the gate for her to date all types of women. And if she said I was no label, then that put her in the market to be able to date studs, when a lot of studs are not interested in dating masculine women. So therefore, she kind of like put herself in the center, you know, became more like a unisex person where you can go either way, you know. And we were speaking, saying how that was kind of deceptive. It is. But we got people out here, you know, a lot of people out here play those kind of games, or if you want to call it a game. But, you know, there are people out there who's adamant about getting what they want by any means necessary. Me, myself, you're not going to trick me into a stud. That's not going to happen. It's just not. I'm just saying.
I think the person who was trying to say something finally, we can hear you now. Hello?
Oh, okay.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, hi. My name is Deborah, and I've been trying to join this conversation for like 30 minutes, and I don't know what was going on with my phone. But I wanted to interject and say that I identify as a femme, and my wife is a stud, and it's because I'm very girly. I have slight aggression, but not a whole lot. I know there's a lot of aggressive people in this world, and my wife is the more dominant person, and I view it as she is the head of our household. We are equal partners, but she is the head of our household. And I have my say, and I heard one young lady say that sometimes we have to stand toe-to-toe and look him straight in the eyes, and I do that when I need to get my point across about something. However, for me, it was I always knew that I was a lesbian at a very young age. I was 11, I believe, and I'm 47 now, and I've learned a lot of things. I had to mask who I was in order to not feel the wrath from my family, and then being raised in church where it was totally against. You know, I was raised in a strict Baptist church, so I'm thankful to God that I was able to finally come out. It's been about 22 years now, and I'm happy with who I am. And I used to be in a relationship. I heard another lady, the same woman. What's your name, ma'am? I'm sorry. The one that was speaking on the abusive relationship.
Oh, no, that was me. That was Bambi.
Hey.
That's Krim.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
That's Krim. That was Krim.
Oh, okay. Hey, Krim. Okay, but I was in an abusive, my very first relationship was so mentally, physically, and verbally abusive, it scared me to death. I thought, oh, my God, if this is what the gay life is like, I just might as well just go back to the other side, you know. And that was because that was my first relationship, and I really didn't know a whole lot about the gay relationships, because I found that they are just as similar to a heterosexual relationship. And I went through a lot of things, mental and emotional, even suicidal, because it was just a horrible, horrible relationship. And as I grew and grew into who I am, and I became comfortable with who I am, then I decided I'm no longer going to accept that. If you call me a bitch, we're not dating. We're not going to talk anymore. If you become physical, we're not dating. I'm not going past go with you, because that was just a hard pill to swallow. And a lot of women that label themselves as masculine-driven women or studs, however, they have a mentality that they really are a man. And I stay away from those people before I got married, those types of people. I ran from them because I'm okay with a woman being masculine-driven, but I need her to remember that she is still a woman at the end of the day. When you take those clothes off, you're still a woman. And it was just a hard pill to swallow for me, but as I blossom into who I am, I'm more comfortable, and now I'm in a very healthy, loving, happy relationship, you know, and my wife allows me to be who I am, and I allow her to be who she is, because when you try to change a person, then that's where the issues come up at. I'm really not a labeler, but if I had to be, then I would say that I am a femme, and my wife is a stud, masculine-driven woman, and we're okay with that. You know, I just feel that two women loving each other is just what it is. And if you choose to have a label, then that's on you. But if you choose not to, then that's okay, too. You know, I'm happy with my situation.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you. I've been trying to join this. I'm so excited. Now I get to finally talk. Because I've been trying. I don't know what's going on with my phone. I've been trying for a whole month and a half. And I just got frustrated
goodness.
And stopped trying it.
Oh, well,
because
we
I would
can't
hear
have
you
that.
Guys' conversations, but you could never hear me.
I would
so
suggest that no
tonight
case
I got
to kind of like hang up and then try to dial again, because sometimes.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
what I did that tonight finally. Yeah, it did.
There,
it helped a lot.
Is there anyone who, anyone else has anything they want to add before we start closing up?
If I may say something, I've been listening in all night. And I have to say, I haven't said anything because you led such a wonderful discussion on your own. You've hit some everything that really needed to be said. You've done an outstanding job tonight. But I wanted to bring myself because what you're saying tonight is true. I too identify as a gentlewoman, and again I am present as a very strong woman as well. And so a lot of times you're right with the labels and things. You know, women have these expectations. They perceive that I am, you know, this strong, this vessel of strength, and all of this thing. And what I'm finding is that in connecting with women, when we're in those more intimate settings and they see that softer side, it is different to them. Because some women are perceived that you are, you know, strength almighty at all times. And what I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of times with women, I would like for them to maybe, you know, entertain the notion that the effort that it takes in being a gentlewoman can sometimes be exhausting, especially if you're committed to what the label represents.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I like, you know, delicate women, but I actually like women who are extremely strong as well, because when I'm in my favorite space, when I'm at home, when I'm alone, I want to be weak. I want to be vulnerable. I want to be, you know, I want to be soft. And a lot of times women are disappointed, or they feel you deceived them in some fashion. You know, you're just not hard. I've actually had some women to be humored by the fact that I could be so soft in those intimate settings. So you're right. These labels, we define the label. The label does not define us.
Right.
And there are a number of differences in being strong and being aggressive. So you said so many things tonight that tickled my ear and have excited me. I haven't said anything because there's really nothing to say.
Wow. Well, thank you. But you did say some stuff, and you said some good stuff. So I do want to say you did have something to say. And
right.
We're thankful for what you did add to the discussion. But you did touch on something that's very interesting, and that we probably would need a whole nother show to discuss, and that is this notion that because a woman is of masculine energy centered, that she doesn't want to be touched, and she doesn't need to be caressed, and she doesn't need to be held. And she, you know, there are moments and times when she is soft. And when she is tender, because after all, like you said, at the end of the day, she is still a woman, and she still bears
right.
all of those qualities, and she still has
right.
those needs. Again, that's something that has to be talked about, and again, people assume because you're under a certain label, then that means there are things that don't have to be done. It's, you know, you don't have the right, Fem, unless you're woman has told you that she is no touch. You don't have the right to just be a receiver and never a giver. You really don't have that right.
Right.
Just because she's of masculine energy. I mean, men want to be touched. So if you're thinking of her in that way, as if she's a man, men want to be touched, and men do get touched. So
right.
you can't rule that out. You can't make that be something that doesn't, unless she specifies that she does not need any of those things, then you can take it to the bank and cash it in. It will not bounce on you, and you will not come up with insufficient funds. That masculine energy driven centered woman wants to be
right.
touched too. Every now and then she wants you to roll over and hold her. Every now and
right.
then she likes her hair stroked the same way that she's been stroking your hair. And so you can't forget that she has needs also. If you're a pillow queen, state it, you know.
Please
if
don't
you're a pillow
forget.
Queen,
please
you never
don't
have
forget.
No attention. It's not your thing. State that.
Please don't forget. Oh, don't forget me.
I just want to chime in and just let it. Hi, April. Hi,
I can't go undercover nowhere. Okay? Can
hey,
I not
you
be undercover?
Loretta?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And like I said, I just wanted to chime in and say, I came in on the to talk, you know, a little late. I've only been on here about maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes, but the discussion was great tonight. As April said, everything you touched on a lot of things. I learned a lot of information. I'm not really a label type person either, but as you said, I do use them. You know, if I had felt the need to use it, it would be, you know, just simply to identify what was going on, whatever scenario was set up at the time. You know, because
right.
it basically has to do with the person or the perception of you know, whatever you're into with the person that you're with. Because it changes. You know, for each person, it changes. And every time you change a relationship or you change a friendship or whatever the case may be, it, you know, the perception changes and the label changes, really. So
absolutely. You could see, a person one time, and they could have been with someone who is of masculine energy for 15 years. They could have been in a 15-year relationship, and that
right.
relationship come to an end, and the next time you see them in a relationship, they're in a relationship with a femme.
Exactly.
At the end of the day,
exactly.
there's still something in that person that was the same as what was in that person that they were in a relationship for 15 years because, you know, we are the common denominators in all of the relationships that we're in.
Exactly.
Therefore, we're drawn to a certain type of energy. And whereas that person may be wearing a suit or wearing sagging jeans or whatever, the energy that they carry may not have anything to do with the outfits that they are wearing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So not only does the person have to use their identifier, but they have to be true to it.
Right. Be true to who you are.
So I want to thank everybody for calling in. It was a great discussion. I'm sorry for the people who were having trouble being heard. Next time, if you ever hear yourself talking and no one is responding, it's not because we're ignoring you. We're not hearing you. I suggest that you hang up and redial into the line so that you can get a better connection. I want to thank my co-host, Janet and A. Michelle. A. Michelle, I heard you say a couple of things. I'm going to get on you later. I heard you say a couple of things. Once you got past that, you heard a new label you thought you liked. I ain't hear you much that more. I'm getting you today.
I love that label, and that's my new label. Please address me as that, everyone. Thank you.
What she says she wanted to be
and yeah,
I
want to say this. I want to thank everybody who dialed in tonight. It's always a pleasure, and this is all for you guys, and not for us at all. And A. Michelle and Janet have always been so gracious to come and sit in and assist me. And I want to give a special thanks and blow kisses to everyone out there and to my stud sisters. I didn't mean no harm, just giving love. So I want to say thank you to everybody tonight. And all I can tell you is that you express yourself in the best way that you know how. And if you're not a talker, then you're going to have to come up with an identifier so people will know who you are, because you may get looked over. And we don't want you to get looked over. We want everybody to be happy, and we want everyone to have a happy and healthy relationship. And that's what this is all about, trying to, if we can get our community healthy, then we can get our relationships healthy. And I want to say good night to everybody. I want to take you out with our theme song for tonight. We're saying Express Yourself. And thank you, and have a great night, everyone.
Thank you. You
all right. All right.
Good night.
Good night, ladies.
That's the theme song going to have with
Express Yourself. It's not that you look like when you're doing what you're doing.